a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled Alex Carey. Tom Hackett filling in for Scott Mitchell. He'll be back tomorrow. Scott has a new grandbaby, and he was able to meet that grandbaby and congratulate his daughter. So we're very excited for him. Jazz Clippers tipping off in Los Angeles here in mere moments as they're starting to wrap up game four here of this Eastern Conference semifinal matchup between the Atlanta Hawks and the Philadelphia 76ers, which right now has Atlanta up 101-98. They were down by as much as 15 in the second half. 49 seconds left, and Trae Young was just fouled by, they might have given the foul not to Joel Embiid. It might have been to somebody else. But either way, Trae Young looks like he's going to the line here with 49 seconds left. And, yeah.
Three-point lead.
Yeah. John Morant just tweeted out, Trae, make sure everybody eats it. So he's, it's kind of this. Oh no, they didn't. He made the free throws. No, he made the free throws already.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, so they're up. They're up three right now.
They keep Joel going Embiid, back to Joel.
Joel Embiid is having a tough go here at this in this one. Give him the free throws. I don't care. Fine.
Well, it's like the third straight possession they fed the big boy.
Yeah, he's missing it, and he's getting fouled. Whatever. 40 seconds left in that one, and as that one wraps up, then the Jazz and the Clippers are going to take off for game four down in Los Angeles. The question is, how healthy is Donovan Mitchell? We'll see, obviously, right off the bat if that ankle is 100%. We heard from Ben Anderson last hour, who's down in L.A. He goes, I don't think it's going to be 100% the rest of the playoffs, but you just hope you can get really, really serviceable. I mean, obviously, he didn't look like he was stopped in any way in the first three games of the series,
right?
And just shooting the lights out, even in that loss last week or on Saturday night. So I don't know what it's going to end up being, but I do think that Mike Conley's absence will start wearing down. And the sooner you can get him back, the more of a shot you're going to have. Who fills in for Mike Conley tonight? Who's going to be missing again? I mean, obviously Joe Ingles is the guy who's going to go in and get the shot. But the question is, really, which version of Joe are we going to get? That first half Joe against the Clippers in game three, or maybe that 19-point Joe in game two? Very, very that's what you're hoping out of him. But really, the defense is the thing that's going to matter tonight. How can the Jazz figure out this Clippers attack who scored 132 on them on Saturday? So looking forward to that and watching this one. I don't know if – I mean, I keep toggling back and forth, and I've been asking for people to text in at 575-00 their predictions.
Has Chaz come back and
Chaz,
redeemed himself?
Yeah. But they did clarify it was a Siri thing.
Okay.
It was Siri. Yeah.
I thought it might have been.
So 122-110 Jazz, according to Chaz.
You think Siri's hard? You should listen to me try and order something through a fast.
Is there no Australian
just driving through fast food? My wife has to order it.
Yeah.
They're like, you want cheeseburgers? I'm like, no, I want 10-piece chicken nuggets.
Yeah, I think you like that. They don't understand me, I'm a foreigner. I think you like to say that and go, You couldn't even understand me going through the drive-thru. Tom Hackett. All right, listen.
I made you like Cockney.
I'm like, I'm Tom Hackett.
Yeah, you make me sound way cooler than I am. Going back to the injury thing quickly. I reckon, I think Ben hit the nail on the head. I don't think Donovan's going to be 100% the rest of the way. In fact, I don't think he has been 100% the entire time.
They just give him the old cortisol shot and let him go?
No, I just think he's at 90%, and it'll take the off season for him to recover, and then at the start of the season he'll come back 100%. But if he takes another... And I think every player that's played the majority of the year up until this point has something going on.
Well,
from playing college football, and I know college football's a lot
They're always
more,
hurt. They're always hurt.
Everybody, except for me, was always hurt.
You're so tough, dude. You were so tough. Did you ever have an injury as a punter?
I bruised my big right toe, and I tweaked my quad.
Was it listed on the injury report?
I don't know if they... Cal Whittingham does not believe in injury report. Are you kidding?
All right. Michael says 121, 117 Jazz in OT. Oh, don't make my heart stop like that and make me go into overtime tonight.
Wow.
Could be interesting. So here's the deal. I'm going to break away a little bit from this Jazz coverage for just a second here as we get into some rivalry talk. And it's not the rivalry you're necessarily thinking of, but here's where we're going to go. Yes, it's a little late, but it's the 805 cut.
The cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Clint Capella can't handle a pass underneath the hoop, and now the turnover has made it. With 16 seconds left, Philadelphia's got the ball down 1 point.
Does Atlanta foul?
Exciting stuff. No, you don't foul. No, with only one with a 1 point lead. No, because then I think they're in the bonus, and you're sending them to the line, and they're going to get 2 points.
Well, if Ben Simmons is on the floor,
foul Ben Simmons.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, maybe. All right. So I want to bring this up, Jim Harbaugh. Oh man, Scott would have. This is a story Scott would have loved. It makes it sound like he's passed away. Oh, Scott would have loved this story. No, I will tell you why. Because he has a certain distaste for Jim Harbaugh.
Does he?
Head coach of Michigan.
Well, he's not the only one.
Well, they were contemporaries. They both played quarterback in the NFL at the same
time.
Right, okay. And so what would happen was, and this is according to Scott, they'd go to these quarterback challenges, right? And it's Scott Mitchell, it's Jim Harbaugh, it's Brett Favre,
Dan Marino.
Fill in the blank with some mid-90s quarterbacks from the NFL, right? And they'd go do these quarterback challenge things, and everybody else was just messing around, having fun. They're all high-fiving each other. Drew Bledsoe's like, oh, check this out. You know, they're winging stuff. It's just fun. Jim Harbaugh would show up, and it was like he was, you know, in a military camp.
Well, he's always in fifth gear.
He is khakis with cleats on guy. Okay? That's his thing on the sideline, right? So, apparently, he would show up, and so it just always rubs Scott the wrong way.
I get it.
Harbaugh showing up to stuff and acting like he's acting like the kid with all the answers in class, you know, kind of thing. Like, hey, settle down. You're making us all look bad here. We're just trying to have fun. And so Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, I don't know if you know this, he's 0-5 against Ohio State. He has ruled that they will now, he has now banned anything red at Michigan. He's asked that everybody not just on the football team or all the other athletic teams cooperate with this, but he said there's no red allowed in any of our athletic facilities, and I hope the rest of the school, you can't even drink red Gatorade in here, because his hatred of Ohio State has been on full display now, as he is 0-5 against Ohio State during his time coaching. You can't get this petty when you haven't won a game. The move you have to do is act like it's just a lot of fun. Like, oh, man, they keep getting us, man. We're going to get them. We're going to get them this year.
Well, it's the same problem, in my opinion, that BYU have had when it comes to the Utah rivalry. And I love Kalani Sitake, and I'm all for him. And one of these days, I'm adamant that BYU are eventually going to beat Utah. But for so many years there, specifically when I was playing, it just felt like the media day, right, coming up this summer and in just a few weeks, all they would talk about when I was around was this Utah game. And I felt as though, as a Utah player at the time, they were doing themselves a disservice. This is the same thing.
I don't think you can be petty when you've lost 5 in a row. In BYU's case, 9 in a row, I think, right?
Something
I think
like
this is going to be the 10th. The real problem with losing this one this time around, I don't think they'd play again until 2024. So you're talking about a 15-year streak of never seeing BYU beat Utah if they can't win this one. Next year, too. They have a chance to win one next year. So win these last two. Let my kids see BYU beat Utah at some point during their young lives.
But just stop talking about it. If you're a BYU fan, player, or coach, just stop. You're only putting
hey,
more.
Hey, can we? Can we talk about it?
I think we can.
Yeah.
You're only putting more pressure on yourself.
All right. Let's take the break here. Hey, Ben Simmons turned the ball over. I love to say that. He turned the ball over.
My countryman.
The fakest Australian I've ever met, Ben Simmons. He doesn't even have a Tom Hackett accent. You can't pass as an Aussie. My heavens. All right, let's take the break here. We'll come back. We've got more to go. An article that Tom wrote up for KSLSports.com. We're going to throw that one some cheese, and we're gonna talk about it. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Jazz tipping off in just a few moments here down in L.A. versus the Clippers in Game 4. Stay with us.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.